FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is June 21st, 2016. And death and taxes and regulation, can't forget about that. Three inescapable things in life. Try as you might, you can't avoid them. But with a little bit of planning, a little bit of knowledge, you certainly can minimize and mitigate your tax burden. And no, we're not talking about saying that the IRS is unconstitutional and that the amendment was improperly passed and therefore you don't have to pay taxes, because you will wind up exactly where Peter Schiff's father, Irving Schiff, wound up, and that is in prison. Even if you're right, don't try it, because you'll wind up locked up in jail. Whether you're right or wrong doesn't matter. The case law is going to go against you, but you can legally reduce your taxes. And if you don't believe it, well, person you're about to hear from, John Pollack, the CEO of Financial Gravity, he's going to prove it to you. John, hey, you've been doing this for quite a while. You got 12 offices around the country helping people do exactly that. And we are extremely grateful that you've taken time out from your busy day to come on to the Financial Survival Network.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, taxes. They're not optional exactly, are they? But with a little bit of planning, a little bit of forethought, you can eliminate a good portion of them, can't you?
Yeah. So I'm really glad you kind of mentioned the idea of that, ignoring the fact that the laws of the land support the taxes, and ignoring it, saying it's illegal, is not a strategy. You know, if I say red lights are not legal and just start running them, that's not a strategy either. So I'm glad you brought that up. There's a lot of people that think that because we're trying to get people to avoid taxes, that we're amongst that group. And tax avoidance is not illegal. It doesn't cause red flags. It's completely legal. In fact, most people that are listening now avoid taxes with their mortgage interest. They take their mortgage interest, they put it on the Schedule A, and then they are able to deduct that. And they don't see that as a problem. It's the evasion, which is the situation which you mentioned, which is, I don't pay taxes because I think it's illegal, or I don't pay taxes because I don't want to, or you evade taxes by moving money offshore. We don't do any of that stuff because that's illegal. And frankly, we don't have to. There's 70,000 pages of the tax code. There is lots and lots of really cool stuff in there. I just became frustrated to find out that nobody was solving the problem. So on a grand scale, I wanted to solve the problem for myself. That's how I got into this business. I'm not a CPA. I didn't study the tax code as a degree. I was an entrepreneur and a small business owner like many of your listeners. And I kept hearing rich people don't pay their fair share. And I felt like I was paying well beyond my fair share, and actually wanted to figure out how not to pay my fair share, if there was a way to do it. And so that's how I got into this business, is basically solving my own problem. I interviewed dozens of CPAs, and they all basically said, it kind of boiled down to the one statement, which is, Mr. Pollack, you make what you make, you pay what you pay. And I didn't like that answer, because I kept hearing on the news that during the first Obama election cycle, where, you know, people were complaining that Mitt Romney wasn't paying his fair share. And he was paying his fair share because he was paying what was legally allowable by law. The fact that he used more of the law than you and I do is our problem, not his. So I look to solve that. How do I get a guy like me and like you and your listeners, small companies, entrepreneurs that are toiling away, how do we get them to save money on taxes? We can't hire a battery of tax attorneys to go to work for us because we're just too small. Yeah. So how do we help the little guy take money back from the federal government legally using their rules and help them put it back in their business so they can succeed and basically accomplish the goals that they set out to accomplish when they start their business? It's a great way to finance your business, money that you already have and not spending it, taxes.
Yeah, like companies like GE and all these multinationals like Apple, they're able to employ the highest priced best legal talent and do legal offshore incorporations like in Ireland and in other tax havens and shift their business to low tax jurisdictions and dramatically reduce their tax burden, or GE, which leases out tons and tons of equipment, aircraft, buildings, you name it. GE Capital is the largest lessor of capital goods in the world. And as a result of doing that, they just keep leasing out more and more property every year. And the depreciation basically negates their tax bill every year. And they pay $0 in taxes. And then the wealthy just load on to that. They bootstrap and they pay nothing. So
yeah, so this is, I'm really glad you brought, this is interesting. I've never talked about this on a radio show. I've never even, no one's even stumbled into this in an interview. This is very interesting because the laws that they're using, which is the leasing laws, actually apply to you and me.
Of course.
So if I have a business that's, I don't know, I'm trying to come up with a, you know, maybe it's a widget manufacturer. So I manufacture widgets. I can actually, and let's say I've had this widget manufacturing company. It's been in the family for years. So all the equipment is owned because I was taught to, you know, pay off everything. Well, I actually can set up a leaseback agreement with myself, which is, by the way, what GE's doing. So I can set up with myself and I can actually generate tax-free income using the same laws that GE does with just a lot less zeros. I mean, if I save someone, a small business owner, $10,000, that may be equivalent to $1 million to a GE. But I mean, our average tax savings for our clients is $21,000 per year. And that's real money.
That ain't
real money to real people. And keep in mind that $21,000 in savings is bottom line dollars.
After tax.
So they would have to generate $200,000 in sales to end up with the $20,000, which then they are then writing to the federal government as a check. If we happen to recapture those dollars, we're saving an infinite number above the number that they're actually recapturing.
Yeah. And,
but the leaseback strategy is a great strategy. Also leasing cars, you know, this is where I disagree with the you know, pay off all your debt guys in the world, is that if you pay cash for a car and you're a business owner, that actually doesn't make a lot of sense. If I earn $100,000, I pay 50% in taxes, and then I have $50,000 left over, and then I go buy, say, a Lexus. You know, the Lexus really cost me $100,000. Is there a way that I can buy the Lexus for closer to that $50,000 number? And the answer is yes, it's use a lease. So there are ways to use the laws that these big companies use for ourselves. Obviously, we can't move money to Ireland because it's not in our best interest, but we can move money to different states. I'm in North Dallas and we are growing unbelievably fast. Toyota has moved their national headquarters just a few miles from my house. Why? Because they were in California. And 13% state income taxes on a company of that size is real money. They could pay cash for the buildings that they're buying for the 1 year's taxes that they're paying to California. And then California wonders why everyone's leaving. But that is actually a tax strategy. So here's a business, instead of setting up in Ireland, they said, well, I'm going to move from California to Texas. We're going to save 13% on the hundreds of millions of dollars we make. That's a big enough number. It's worth it for us to pick up and move. These are business decisions. Yeah. Taxes are business decisions. But we want to help bring it to a lower level, you and me, where we can save the tens of thousands instead of the tens of millions.
Not to mention the subsidies that they got for the privilege of moving there, but we won't go into that.
We can actually talk. This is another great topic because I'm in a little city called Allen. And this is actually interesting because I started my business in my living room. I'm actually a great success story for the city. It's a city of about 100,000. We're surrounded by these bigger cities like Plano and McKinney and Frisco, where lots of big companies are moving in. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys are setting up their new training center, you know, 5 miles from my house in Frisco. But I'm in Allen, and the way the systems are designed, and this is actually a problem, but the way the systems are designed is the Allen Economic Development Council will not give me any help to expand my business. They only give help to people moving into Allen.
To start up. But if you were to start up a new business,
no, I wouldn't be big enough to help. So I can. They would only help me based on the number of jobs that I can guarantee that I will bring into the city, which we have guaranteed to bring them 50 new full-time jobs. And that wasn't enough. We weren't big enough because this area is growing so much that they didn't. The irony is I can move to a neighboring city and get help. So the reason Toyota got help was because they were moving into a city that is building the infrastructure for, and moving Toyota in means they're going to get houses, which they're going to get the property taxes from the houses. So there is a game, a shell game that these governments are playing, which is what I try to get our small business owners to do. If everybody's playing games with the tax code, cities are playing games with the tax code in order to raise taxes, in order to give that money away to entice big business, in order to increase the tax base. That's a game. They're playing at a different level. But as a small business owner, we can play the game too. It's just a different game. We got 70,000 pages of code. How do I use that code to lower my taxes? If my total adjusted tax rate is 25%, can I get it down to 10? Well, and in many cases, the answer is yes.
I know of another thing that I'm almost certain that you utilize, which is captive insurance, right?
Yeah, so captive insurance is a great strategy. There are challenges, like with anything, and this is where there's a give and take within the tax code, and that's why you need a firm that's really going to – and this is one of the big challenges we run into is someone will call us and say, hey, I heard of captive. They sound really cool. I want one.
Gotta
and then
define
they call
it.
Us.
Tell us say, what
wait,
it is
we
first.
Don't sell captives. We're not a captive sales company. What we do is tax planning. If captives are a fit, we'll make that recommendation. But we're going to go where the tax code leads. So if you can't save at least $250,000 a year, then a captive is probably not a good idea. There are better ways to save money on taxes than stashing money in the captive. But if you can save $1 million a year, the captive is a lights out strategy. The money goes in tax free. It grows at capital gains rates. And there are ways of getting it out tax free. Now, they're under scrutiny by the IRS. And there's a weird game going on with captives, and people need to be aware of it, is that the Congress has basically bolstered the captive. I'm not sure if you've heard of this, but the captive had a $1.2 million cap. Well, Congress increased that. So they basically sent out a statement by their actions, which is, we like them and we want more people to do more of them. So we're going to even increase the amount of money that you can do by $1 million. So they went from $1.2 million to over $2 million. But then the IRS kind of sent their salvo back and said, well, we don't care that you've increased it. If a captive comes into our office, we are going to disallow all the deductions 100% of the time. So basically the IRS has chosen to ignore the law.
Imagine that.
Right. And then, but if you get audited and the IRS disallows it, all you have to do is go to tax court and 100% of the time you'll win.
Yeah, you have
to. So you've got this governmental gamesmanship of which we're in the middle of, we the consumer. So the question we ask our clients when they were going down the captive path is, look, this, if you get audited, it's going to be disallowed and we got to go to tax court. We'll cover all the costs. We'll audit protect you, but you may have some discomfort. So the question is are you going to – are the statistical likelihood of being audited is very low. Is it worth it to go through the pain for saving, say, $500,000 in taxes a year? Which most of our clients say, hell yes.
Sure, of course it is.
Yeah, so most of them do it. And it's a legal strategy the IRS doesn't like, but the courts have said it's okay. Congress says it's okay. Obama signed it in law. So both this is an irony, is the Democrats and the Republicans love this strategy. Mm-hmm. They agree that this is a good strategy, and they together, everyone complains about gridlock, they came together and they created, they made the product better. They made the strategy better, but the IRS doesn't like it. So
government for the people, right?
That's life, right? You know, that's that's life. So that's another example of a great strategy that it's misused too. A lot of companies will set up captives offshore in Turks and Caicos or Puerto Rico is popular as well. We actually discourage that because anything that's offshore, most of the time things are not red flags that CPAs say are red flags. But in this case, anything offshore is a red flag.
For certain.
So there's no reason why you can't set up your captives domestically. There's lots of states that are helping with
Wyoming,
that.
Wyoming, Delaware, sure.
Well, no, actually the two best states right now for captives are, they're Tennessee and North Carolina.
Really?
So,
okay.
And this is what's interesting about this is it's just kind of like Ireland. Everyone's mad at Ireland for having this be a tax haven. But Ireland's like, wait, we're a tiny little company, a country.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting revenue that we wouldn't have gotten if we didn't do this. So why, you know, you can complain all you want, but we're playing your game. The states are doing the same thing. You know, Texas cities will give money to Toyota. The tax rate of the state is cheaper. So Toyota says, hey, I'm going to get money to move and I'm going to save money in the long run. So they move and everyone complains in California. Well, stop raising taxes. So they're playing the legal game that's set before us. So what I encourage people to do is, what is the legal game at our level? A lot less zeros behind the one. We're not dealing in hundreds of millions. We may be dealing in maybe a million and or even hundreds of thousands. Yeah. But there are games you can play at that level to help yourself take advantage of them.
Yeah. So time-wise, we're a little pressed. Tell us one more technique here that you can use to minimize your tax burden.
I would focus on the home office, because CPAs have said the home office is a red flag for decades.
Yeah, no more, though. That's been legalized.
Yeah, well, it's been legalized, and it's even worse. They still say it's a red flag. You can go to a dozen CPAs, and 75% of them will say, no,
don't
do the home office.
That's totally untrue.
It's totally untrue. There's actually five different ways you can write off the home office. So what I always ask the question is if it's a red flag, why does the IRS have five different ways you can do it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's not five different ways you can write off mortgage interest, and everyone does that. No one thinks it's a red flag. There's only one way to do it. You put it on Schedule A. But there's five different ways to write off a home office. So if you have an home office and you're not writing it off, for goodness sakes, your home office, take advantage of the tax code as it's written. Because really, the tax code is bent towards small business. It's designed to help small business. You know, we complain about farmer subsidies, but farmers used to be small businesses. Now it's a problem because the big businesses are taking advantage of it. But as a small business, there's a plethora of things that you can take advantage of, one being the home office. And what's great about making it the home office as a place of business is now you can write off your swimming pool. You really can. If you have a swimming pool, you can write it off. You can write off all the mileage when you leave your office, which is now your house. So you actually get more mileage if you're going to write off mileage. There's a lot of reasons why you want to take advantage of the home office. The biggest being it's nuts not to.
Yeah. What's the maximum deduction, though, for home office? I thought you were limited like 1500, something like that.
No, actually, there's several ways you can do it. There's a business use percentage. So you can actually, and we joke about this in Texas, the business use percentage, we use rooms. So a 3-bedroom, 2-bed house in Texas may be 4,000 square feet. So it's better to write off the rooms and the percentages that way.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in New York, a 3-bedroom, 2-bed house may be 1,500 square feet. So you may want to write off the square footage of the rooms instead of the number of rooms. There's also part of the tax code that allows you to rent your house to yourself 14 days a year. So that number can be as high as $25,000. You have to make the case that your house is worth that. But if I have to go to a hotel and rent a room for $1,000 and I can run that same event in my house, then I can pay myself $1,000.
Right. So it's what's reasonable.
It's called the 14-day rental rule.
So whatever is reasonable, it's got to be
reasonable. Yeah, it's reasonable. You have to cut. You can't just say, well, I would have paid myself $10,000 to rent my house for a day. Mm-hmm. If no one else would do that, then it's not reasonable. So what we usually do is go on to Zillow. We come up with a price of the house. We call the local hotels to get a determination on what the value of your rooms are. And then that's the number we target. So if you go back to if the IRS audits you and you say, hey, we called the hotels, these are all the houses in the area, and we put it in a file and we charge $1,000 a day, they can't come back and say, well, that's not unreasonable, especially if you did all the research.
So if you've got people coming to your house, clients, and you're meeting them in your house.
That would count.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but if you're a small business, many of us have our spouses as partners.
Yeah.
If you want to have a board meeting mm-hmm. between you and your partner, that can happen at the house instead of a boardroom in a hotel room. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of ways to slice at this. And we help clients with this. We help them with the forms. And keep in mind, the IRS is more about the letter of the law than they are about the spirit of the law.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't care about the spirit.
Forget
they
about,
care
about spirit. The letter. Yeah. We're way past spirit here.
Yeah, no, it's all about the letter of the law. They basically say, for instance, we tell people to hire their kids. And people say, well, my kids don't do anything for the business. Let's talk about the letter of the law. Does the IRS care that you hire any employee and they actually do work for your company? No. What the IRS wants is to get paid.
Yeah.
So the IRS has three rules for employment. Number one, do you have a piece of paper that says they're employed with the job description? Number two, does the money go through payroll, which means the IRS is getting their cut? And number three, does the money go into the personal checking account of the employee? If those three things are met, they're an employee. Mm-hmm. They don't have to work. They don't have to do anything. They're an employee if those three rules are met. That's the law.
Yeah.
What's interesting about employing your kids is that if I employ your child, I still have to pay FICA tax. Yeah. But if I employ my own child, FICA tax is waived. I don't have to pay it. So if the IRS didn't want us to employ our kids, why did they put into the code the fact that we don't have to pay any taxes when we pay our kids?
Yeah, that's why my father paid me all those years for doing nothing.
Yes.
I think I was getting $1,800
a year. This is stuff that's been in the code for decades.
I know. This
for some reason, maybe it's old and dusty and boring.
Yeah.
But it's we're bringing it out. We're dusting it off. We're polishing it off. And we're letting people use it. Because when the IRS, when the government adds to the tax code, they add. They don't typically subtract much.
Yeah.
It's Frankenstein's monster. They keep adding and adding and adding. Even Obamacare, which everyone was worried about, didn't eliminate all the really cool tax strategies around healthcare. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of ways you can write off stuff. You can write off massages, acupuncture, psychologists, glasses, braces.
How do you write off massages here?
Yes, it's legal. And it didn't get changed when Obamacare went into effect. The laws that were there before Obamacare are still there.
So you can write off a massage if your doctor recommends it? Is that the deal?
Or massages. I guess in California, you can even write off medical marijuana because it's a medical.
Yeah. Well, there you're probably getting into a bit of the gray area. But
yes, because that's federal law says it's illegal. But
yeah, you got the 10th Amendment issue there. But who wants to be a trailblazer? You don't want to make law because making law, I can tell you, for my life as an attorney and businessman, gets expensive. So let other people.
Yeah, and that's the old saying. If you're in front, then you're getting all the arrows. That's the old saying.
Yeah, being a pioneer. Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're the pioneer, you're getting all the arrows. Yeah, exactly. So
be sure to
be a pioneer, and that's why most of the stuff that we do, actually all the stuff we do, has decades of either case law. It's been in the tax code for decades. The kids hiring themselves. Yeah. The home office example, there's a court case where a doctor got sued and basically was disallowed by the IRS. He sued back and won. And what he won was the ability to write off his office where he saw patients, write off his home office at his house, and write off an office at his lake house. Beautiful. He wrote off all three. The IRS disallowed it. He fought back and won. So we now have case law that says you can write off three offices.
I love it. Well, this is great. So I guess we have to tell John, we have to tell you where to find you, how to get in touch with your experts, and how to get started planning today.
So there's a couple of things you can do. You can go to financialgravity.com. Right. That's just an overview, and there'll be a pop-up that will actually lead you to a free video series. So the video series you can go to direct if you don't want to go to financialgravity.com. Which is lowertaxhigherprofit.com. And it basically walks you through, and I draw on a whiteboard so you can see pictures of how we do what we do. And then you'll get the opportunity to meet with us at the end. If you don't want to bother with the video series, you've heard enough here, just go to financialgravity.com and hit the contact us and go from there.
All right. And you've got an ebook coming out. That's going to be a $39.95 value that you can get for free. How do they get that?
So I would start with going to financialgravity.com and in the contact, just say free ebook offer. But we will have a tab in the next couple of weeks where you'll be able to link to it. But for now, just you'll have to do a little bit extra work, but the good news is that you'll get something that costs money for free. So, hey, they say nothing in life is free. It's free if you do a little work. So go to the contact, say free ebook, and we can send you a copy of it. It's not prettied up yet. We don't got the cover and all that stuff. But if you just want the content, which is really what's of value anyways, we'd be happy to send that out.
Yeah, you're not going to learn anything from the cover, let's face it.
No.
Just get the book, get the guts of the book, and hey, maybe an audio book in the offing would be great. So just let's have that website again.
Financialgravity.com.
And we will have a link to financialgravity.com in the show notes to this interview on our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Seems like the two go hand in hand. And hey, John, it's been great having you on the show. While you're at financialsurvivalnetwork.com, make sure you sign up for our free newsletter. Valuable information there, dealing with taxes, dealing with the economy, education, all sorts of things that you need to know about. Really important things. World's changing very quickly. You need to stay up on it, and you need to stay informed and ahead of the curve, because if you're not, then you wind up paying all sorts of money and lowering your standard of living, decreasing your wealth for no reason at all. You could have avoided it. FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com. John, we will definitely talk to you again. Thanks so much for being on, and good luck.
Thanks for having me.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.